back, the number of student suicides in India have grown at an alarming annual rate. The rate of suicide is now higher than the population growth rate and overall suicide trends in India. It is an epidemic in India. In fact, those were the words used in a report to describe exactly what it is that we're talking about. The author of the report joins us in a few moments. Why is this happening and why over the last two decades have student suicides grown in this shocking manner? Joining us for more on this, Ganesh Kohli is the founder of the IC3 movement who compiled this data. Thank you, Ganesh, for being with us. Advocate Anubhav Srivastav Sahai, the president of India Wide Parents Association and a lawyer and child rights activist, will be with us as well, and our other panelists. But Ganesh, let me come to you first. What were some of the most shocking findings of your report?
I think it was the fact that, worldwide, the number one cause of deaths among young people was road accidents. India was the only country that stood out. There were some other alarming numbers. We had in the last 10 years, India's young population from 0 to 24 has actually shrunk. We've gone from 582 million to 581 million. And the student suicides have actually increased by 64%. We had 6,654 student suicides about 10 years back, and we're up to 13,044. So with the shrinking population in that demographic, we're actually seeing a 64% increase in suicide. So those are two of the numbers that really stood out for us.
Is there any reason why this is happening, Ganesh? Is it all linked to is a large amount of this linked to competitive exams, or are there other pressures?
To a great extent, Vishnu, what we're seeing is young people are being compared really, really early. As our country becomes a little more, we have a growing middle class and an aspirational population, where comparing our kids, and when this comparison becomes acute, competition is born. When competition becomes acute, violence is born. Essentially, students taking their life is the extreme form of violence on their own self. And we start comparing our kids very early around the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they look, the way they dress, the way they draw, the way they do math. And then by the time they're in middle school or high school, we've really gone to the extreme forms of comparison, which is competition. And that's leading to this violence, which is self-inflicted.
Advocate Anubhav Srivastav, just in speaking to Ganesh, I picked up on four words, which I found interesting, or five words: jobs, aspirations, competition, and comparisons. Are these really part of the biggest problems that we face right now? There's a problem of jobs in this country. There are incredible aspirations, and why shouldn't there be? But there is this unhealthy competition, and then people end up making comparisons. You have a job, I don't have a job. Therefore, you are a loser, and I am not, right? It's this unhealthy mix which exists across our country. It's killing young people now, right? That's what this is about.
Yes, thank you for having me on this show. And really, it's an alarming situation in our country. And we are heading towards this epidemic. And it's really very concerning.
I think it is an epidemic, Anubha. I would suggest that we are there. And, that's what the report is called. I tend to agree with it. Do you?
Yes, definitely. Because the rising cases of suicides, and there are a number of cases which are not even being reported. So these are the reported cases. And a very alarming situation. I don't know why government is not interfering. They are busy with so many other issues, but this is a very important issue. Each and every child life matters a lot, but we have been debating on this issue since last four or five years. I'm seeing that the cases are rising, and we are just discussing on every medium, everywhere, social media and everywhere. We're just discussing, but implementation is not happening. The Mental Health Act is still not being implemented properly pan-India. And even Modi ji has come up with some suggestion that they have increased the budget for mental health this year, last year also. But I don't know what is happening. They must do something as far as the schools are concerned, right from beginning, I think, right from primary school level. We must start some counseling session and different sessions for children and teachers and parents also, so that the students will not face any trouble in the future. If they fail, failure is the biggest challenge which students are facing as far as the career is concerned, competition is concerned. And we see now many number of students committing suicide, 12 board students, NEET aspirants, even those who are studying in IITs are committing suicide. PG students and those who are doing NEET PG, even NEET resident doctors are committing suicide. I don't know. It's high time that government and all the stakeholders must take cognizance of this matter.
Absolutely. Give me a second. I want to go across to Amit Sen, director and senior child and adolescent psychiatrist. Dr. Sen, you know, the 2017 Mental Health Care Act decriminalizes suicide attempts for individuals with mental illness, right?
Yeah.
But is that necessarily good enough? Because there is this legacy of criminalization which, as I understand it, appears to continue. And the reason I ask you this is that reporting practices of suicides are still probably grossly inaccurate. So we've got these shocking statistics, but this perhaps doesn't tell the entire story.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's a very inadequate measure to just have people who have a diagnosed mental illness to be decriminalized. In fact, this is what brings all the shame and the stigma and the guilt and the othering that goes with any kind of suicidal behaviors or attempts. And that actually makes young people that much more weary of coming up with any kinds of the crisis they're going through, the despair or hopelessness that they're going through, whether due to a mental illness or not. And indeed, one of the reasons why we have so many people ending up killing themselves, which is indeed a shame and a shocking statistic that we see now, is rising. And I think that we have to get to the bottom of it because, you know, it's a developmental process. It's not suddenly overnight somebody develops, need to end their lives. It develops over periods of months and years sometimes when they have utter despair, they have emotional turmoil, hopelessness, worthlessness. And most of that goes unnoticed because we are unaware of some of these mental health markers in every space, whether it be at home or in educational institutions. And just like you said, Vishnu, that the fact that it is criminalized and it is there's so much of stigma attached to it makes people turn their heads away from it, from any kind of suicidal behaviors or ideation. And indeed, it is given labels like, oh, you're a coward, or this is it's really disgraceful. What will it bring to the family? How will your sister get married? And so on and so forth. So, you know, there are so many different spaces that young people could otherwise get the support from, but they fail to do so.
Sudha Acharya, one of the most, let me ask you this. The numbers of young girls who are ending their lives or young women who are ending their lives, that's gone up. Between 2021 and 2022, male student suicides decreased 6%. Female student suicides increased by 7%. Are the reasons for young women ending their lives necessarily different from the reasons for young men ending their lives?
Yeah, I must tell you that the focus of our education system must shift from competition to core competencies and supporting our girl children for their holistic well-being. We are seeing the cases in the school which we never observed in the past years.
Like what?
Like self-harming, delusion, hallucination, and even bipolar also. Now, within 16 disabilities, now we have included mental illness in RPWD Act. Of late, after COVID, what we are seeing, social isolation, body image, low self-esteem, and acceptance by the peer group or societal norm or fear of failure is really affecting them.
Didn't exist earlier. When you and I were in school, did this not exist? Some of this.
So what I would say that of late, I am seeing more of female or girl children are affected by this mental illness. What our counselor or as educationist, we are observing low self-esteem, cyberbullying and body image and pressure of academic achievement. And I would say that no role modeling and career counseling. And the focus more on IQ rather than integral intelligence. I would say EQ, SQ, and AQ should take over IQ. So we are focusing and treating our children as scoring machine. And we are not giving them multiple opportunities, avenues to perform also. If you don't clear NEET exam or IIT JEE, that's the end of life. We have seen 38 young lives lost in quota in
23-24. Yeah, I know.
So parental aspiration and pressure is really affecting our children. So in
I just wanted to go back to Amit Sen for a moment.
Mental health has to be incorporated into the curriculum.
100%. And we'll talk about solutions in a moment. But Dr. Sen, what I don't understand is, mental health issues, some students having bipolar tendencies, issues linked to body image, peer pressure, right?
Yeah, even
and perhaps
today
not,
we,
and perhaps not cyberbullying because that's
that
a new...
One girl is having schizophrenia
One second, ma'am. Because that's not... cyberbullying is new relatively. My question, Dr. Sen, is didn't we have this when we grew up in school with the exception of cyberbullying? Was there no recognition of mental health issues? And perhaps there wasn't when we were growing up in schools. Or are these all new phenomena which have emerged?
So these are in many ways new because the social world has changed in a big way. So we have social media, we have multiple opportunities for young people, and yet the level of competition that we see is gone to one extreme. The kind of of course the cyberbullying, but trolling, shaming, body image, as the lady said, all of that has accumulated. And mind you, COVID also has had a huge impact on the mental health of people. WHO reported that there was a 4 to 5 times increase in symptoms of depression, anxiety, suicidal behavior, substance misuse during the COVID time. And as a community, we did not really respond to it. And it's not surprising that many of these young people who do not have anywhere to go to seek support, to seek understanding, ultimately in despair, begin to self-harm and see no other way. There is also an internalizing of the problem, rather than seeing it as an issue of social justice where you are not responsible for it. You take it in and believe and begin to believe that you are to blame and that you are guilty of having failed your family, failed your community, or even failed your peer group. And those are things that sit so heavy on the frail shoulders of young people that they cannot have no other choice but to take this extreme step. So the intervention or the approach has to be multi-pronged at different levels. We cannot just see the numbers and see the tip of the iceberg. Indeed, the death by suicides is the tip of the iceberg, and what's happening underneath it is a very complex phenomena. And unless we are able to break it down at different places, at homes, in educational institutions, in the larger community, and bring this discourse in the mainstream, we are beginning to miss the bus repeatedly. So, and it is again such a stigma that we shudder to talk about it. It brings us so much of shame and even fear, perhaps, So we have had, people, young people who say that, when I first started talking about self-harm, the therapist or even the counselor became quiet and changed the topic. So it's something that scares even professionals. And it is time that we began to talk about it in a more holistic way and accept that indeed our young people are going through a very difficult time of turmoil, of conflicts, and perhaps a very uncertain future. I think that our future, Vishnu, to answer your question, was probably much more predictable, and there were clear pathways to achieve success and to have a career, to have a life. Whereas now, it's also confusing. And whatever you do, you fall short. Social media will tell you that you're not good enough repeatedly. From morning till evening, you'll get messages which might actually indicate that your body is not good enough, your marks are not good enough, the friends you have are not good enough, the holiday you took is not good enough. And that actually constantly chips on the self, you know, on the self, sense of self that people have. So there is, although we are in some ways connected digitally, but we do not have a sense of belonging. And young people often grapple and are desperate to find, you know, a community of people who they feel they belong in. Adults and even peers who feel they understand and show some kind of empathy.
Ganesh Kohli, what are some of the other really shocking details which you've been able to unearth? I noticed the statistics and they're shocking, but have you been able to, you know, identify reasons behind many of these deaths?
Yeah, so Vishnu, we are currently working on a preliminary research and we're very early stages. We're looking to scale this, but the preliminary research that we've done, we've identified five key reasons why this is happening why this could be happening. The key reasons for mental distress at this time that we find are academic pressure is one. There is family pressures. That's number two. Body image is number three. College admissions and planning is number four. And then financial pressures, you know, just the financial pressures in the family. I think what we're realizing also in these very early stages is most young people are actually feeling low or are feeling not well, not because of what is happening in their present life. If they're a school-going kid, they aren't necessarily feeling like that because of their present life. But what would happen to them in the future? What would happen if they didn't get to college? What would happen if they didn't get a major that they wanted to? So those are the sort of things. It is essentially about, what will happen to me as I go on in life. And I think what we also figured is, Vishnu, that counseling and, you know, every educator as a counselor first, a math teacher, an English teacher, a geography teacher, a principal in a school, every teacher needs to be turned into a career and college counselor in some way, not so much a social, emotional or a mental health counselor. Yes, you need all of that but not everybody will have those skills. We will need Dr. Sen and we will need many others to help there. But we could be the gatekeepers who actually help young people find meaning and purpose in everyday life. You know, there is a distance. You know, we talk about work-life balance, where work is the punishment I have to endure for a life at the end of it. You know, Monday to Friday is the punishment. The weekend is the reward. Morning to evening is the punishment. The Netflix thriller is the reward. It is actually born in school. Academics and fun are separate. The best place to learn, geometry or algebra is the football field. But, you know, fun is separate. Academics are separate. So we are finding in these very early stages, and we are scaling this work to include many more students, they don't have context. They, without context, without purpose, they get despondent. They get into a state of despair. And that's really what career and college counseling or counseling in general, with every educator becoming a gatekeeper. It's not the responsibility of one psychologist or one individual somewhere who will sit and try to help this child. It has actually got to be systemic change. And I feel the government's done a lot. Actually, in a way, I feel the government is actually providing data. I would congratulate the government for providing data as being made available. A lot of our findings are coming from government reports. And I know that there is a problem with reporting and, you know, there are issues around that. But for the most part, we are choosing at IC3 to marinate in the solution, because this problem is discussed enough. We need to start to marinate in the solution. And the solution is each one of us becomes the gatekeeper as our young people reach the age of 18 or 21, when they are independent enough to vote, to marry, to drive, to whatever else they want to do. Till that age of 21, at least, we need to all take collective ownership.
Dr. Sangeeta Sharma, at one level, does this also just boil down to one word, jobs? Let's face it, in India, there is so much aspiration. The numbers are huge. Jobs are just not being produced, and the numbers that we seek. And therefore, you have an entire generation of youngsters not knowing if they're going to be properly employed.
You know what I feel, Vishnu, that it's not only the job. It's the way we are upbringing the children. You know, life skills are very important. We are not teaching them how to cope up with emotions, with situations of stress. And that is probably ending up in not finding a job. They get into the stress and they take some decisions which are not very good. So as far as I feel right from the beginning, it is very important for all of us, including the teachers, because teachers play a very important role, as important as the parents. So we need to teach children right from the beginning the life skills, which earlier we used to get naturally. Like you were asking, what is the difference between the when we were students and now what is the difference with the students? So basically, it is the life skills that we used to learn in our families, which used to be joint families or very connected families. Nowadays, we find the entire family is so busy. There are broken families. Issues of loneliness is also there. There is no one to support the child. The support system of the child is very weak, I would say. And that is probably the reason why when they grow up, they don't find someone who's actually supporting them. And they are shattered, and very easily they feel that it is easier to commit suicide rather than to fight and take challenges. You know, we always were taught to face the challenge right from the beginning, right from the age of from class 4 or 5. We were told that challenges will come and you have to fight out. You are strong. You will fight it out. I know you will do it. Lot of communication used to be there with the grandparents, with uncles, aunts. And so there was a whole lot of people who would listen to the children. Now I have seen, as an activist, I've seen many children come to us and they tell that there is hardly anyone to talk to them. Even it's very difficult for the parents. They are not talking to the children in a way that they should talk. Sometimes because of the reason, because they are not free. Sometimes they are hesitant. Like, there are a number of parents who are very hesitant in talking up about the boyfriends, yep, and the girlfriends. And there are lot many relationship issues that end up in suicide. And these are adolescent children who end up their lives because of the relationship issues, because of the broken families, because of loneliness. So these are the things. And at many times they do not know what decisions they should take, how they should take decisions. And there they feel that some decision is wrong. So now, how would I face my friends? How would I face my parents? And so they take up wrong decisions and they end up their life. So there are a number of things which we see right now.
Yeah.
And the solution, what someone was talking about the government. In government also, it was for the first time that India has a policy for suicide.
Yes.
They launched a national suicide prevention strategy in 2022. And it was a very good program if it is properly implemented.
Sure.
You know, they have.
So that is possibly a start. I'm just interrupting you because I do want to go back to Ganesh, you know, who's compiled this data and has come out with this report, for one last comment before we wrap this up. You know, the 5 key reasons: academic pressure, family, body image, college admissions, and financial pressures. At one level, these are all profoundly linked. Do you not believe that our system of education has to fundamentally change? That this entire business of college entry being a crazy, traumatic process which affects children for years and years, that has to go away. And therefore, if we do not redevelop our entire system of education, we are exposing our children to a system which results in them ending their lives. That has to change.
Absolutely. Vishnu, I think there's a lot of fear-based decision-making that happens throughout school and right until that point that we get to college. we're actually at a time when young people need to be creative. They are being encouraged to be compliant. You know, I would be honest with you. When I was growing up, I had only three options: engineering, medicine, or jail. I didn't want to go to jail. I hated biology. I ended up studying engineering. Really, that's what's happening to our young people. You need to comply with what's happening around you. And young people, when the thinking brain is developing, they are seeking creativity. You don't give them the opportunity to create with geography or with a language or in school or in their activities. They will go to a computer game or social media, and on social media, they will encounter all of those comparisons further that will undermine their self-worth. So I think we need to move from a fear-based to a more love-based decision-making model. We need to get purpose in everyday life. We're not going to solve our higher education problems overnight. That's going to take some while. But it doesn't matter how far behind we are with our educational ecosystem, Vishnu. What we really need is to give them the tools to find the joy in their education, to start to make academics more meaningful, purposeful, fun. And then I go to a boring lecture with a boring professor. I can look at my walls and find some meaning out of it. I will actually discover physics in my bedroom, chemistry in my mother's kitchen. I will discover all that I need to. With football, I can study geography. Everything becomes exciting when we alter the way we advise and guide our children.
I can't thank you enough for drawing those examples, how life needs to be fun. It just cannot be bound by textbooks and bookish learning and, seeking aspirations based on choices made by others. I'd like to thank you all so much for this very meaningful discussion. But these numbers are just shocking. So many young Indians choosing to end their lives. What can we do? Out of time on this program.